Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy podcast. The official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. We talk about Star Wars.
Fanboy style.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Welcome to Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy. This is episode 16. And unfortunately, Eric could not be here. Something came up. But we're still going to record with or without him, so he might come in later. I'm not sure, though. So, but until then, we've got the man himself from High Adventure, Glenn Nelson.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Ryan. What's going on, guys? Hello, my fanatical Forcecast fans and, of course, fanboy fans. It's my honor and huge privilege to be here. So thanks for having me.
We've been wanting to have you on for so long, and now we finally have a reason to. You just released your first album, and it's why don't you tell us about it?
Well, actually, Ryan, it's my 21st album, if you're going by my discography. But yeah, but you're right. It's the first official High Adventure album.
Right, yeah.
And we did want something to talk about on the show, obviously. And it's about 30 years in the making. It's a funny story. Because a lot of people in the fan world know me as the name Spaghetti Cake, and that is the band that I've been in for the past 10 years with my wife Sue, and it's a family rock band, and I'm a school teacher, so it's a natural outlet, you know, and a songwriter, of course, and so it's a natural outlet for me to write kids songs and play kids concerts and stuff. It's just what I do for a living, but at some point at around 2008, as we began to play more of these songs like Farm Boy and Ballad of Indy in Spaghetti Cake, it became more evident that we needed another outlet for these songs. And when I was a kid, 8 years old, Todd was 10 years old. This is an old story that's been told and retold, but we were in a band called High Adventure when we were little, and we were terrible. We were terrible. And, you know, it was our first band. But we wrote songs and we played gigs and we had a logo and we had albums and blah blah blah. So we thought it was just our beginnings in the world of music, you know. But when in 2008, it all started with the Ballad of Indiana, the follow up to Farm Boy, and we created a new band. And we didn't want to. We were worried about confusing people, but. When you think about it, we're dealing with fanboys and fangirls. We're dealing with people who are passionate and who care about, you know, details and the minutia of things. So, you know, to most people, it would be confusing to start a side project. But I think most people got it right away. Okay, this is their fanboy rock project. It's essentially the same three guys though from Spaghetti Cake. It's still, you know, Todd Howard and Chris Seti. We've been playing music since we were 8 and like 10 years old. But the funny thing is, we never did an album until now, because we've lived, you know, separate lives. We've lived very busy separate lives, and we don't live that close to each other either. But thanks to the wonders of the internet and things, we're able to send tracks back and forth now and collaborate in very, you know, cool new ways. And then came the Forcecast and the IndieCast, yeah. And I can't say enough what they've done for us musically. And so they gave us a reason to write songs again, and they gave us a reason to, you know, get excited about writing fanboy music. But, you know, not music that sneers at fanboys or that takes itself kind of half seriously, but music that is dead serious, and we're trying to write very great, very artistic, thoughtful music to be appreciated by people like us, who are thoughtful and artistic and creative and appreciative, and it just blossomed into these 12 songs, and some of which ended up as you know, Spaghetti Cake songs, but most of them ended up as just being you know, Forcecast songs or songs that we've, you know. So anyway, it's time to put out an album. You know, as a writer and as an artist, you feel that burning need. You have a certain body of work that's ready to go, and you say, well, I guess it's time to make an album. So this time around, we decided not to make a physical release, but a digital one. And this time, since most of the songs have been around for a long time, we decided to give the whole thing out for free. And it's available right now as we speak. This is the world premiere announcement of the whole thing. And it's called Acoustic Prog Pop, which is the subgenre that we have so named ourselves. And it is coming out, or it is out on our website, highadventuremusic.com.
Yeah, so definitely go download it. I mean, these songs, I mean, you got the classics, you've got some new songs, you got some old songs. You pretty much got everything. Everything from my favorite, The Rise of Cad Bane, to Humpy the Ewok.
And, right, man.
And, yeah, just the most, you know, fanboy songs that you can find that really is a tribute to the saga and to Indiana Jones and just fanboys in general. So
that's right. And if there's any doubt to Ryan's geek cred, or I should say fanboy cred, you are the one. Before we ever start talking podcasts and stuff, you were the one who sent me the image, right, of your iTunes playlist. And this was months and months and months ago, and it was like Cad Bane had like 500 plays.
524.
Yeah, and I, sometimes, Ryan, you get down as an artist because there's a certain apathy that comes with art. And you think, oh, does anyone even care? Is anyone even listening to this stuff? Because very rarely will anyone send you that kind of feedback. And or if you get it, it comes in like dribs and drabs, but you sent us this thing. I've heard your song 500 times. And dude, we loved that, man. That made our month. I forgot when it was. Boy.
I can't remember what month it was.
But anyway, man, that was pretty cool. Thanks for that.
I listened to that song day and night.
I guess so. I guess you did, man. But and so it's things like that that you have to remember. It's things like that that you have to hold on to and say, wow, there really are people. Because for every one Ryan Zazzo who sends you that amazing response, there's probably 50 others just like you who are probably never going to say anything about it, But it's things like that. And, I never listen to the haters. I have no time for that. I'm a very positive guy, and music's an incredibly positive force in my life and always has been. And it is my utter and utmost joy to write these songs for people who are so responsive and so appreciative. And it's great. It's been great. So we wrote more songs in 2010 than we wrote in the last 5 years as High Adventure. So I think we're onto something here. I'm glad we finished the album, and we're actually already working on our next single right now, which will probably be released on iTunes. Not to be that guy, but I think after 12 songs, I think we finally said, okay, I think we figured this thing out now. Okay, we figured out who High Adventure is, and I think now it's safe to say that we'll probably start putting out singles on iTunes and start slowly and. So that's our plan.
That's a good plan. And how long did it take to get all these songs together? How many years?
Well, it's funny, it started off really slowly because in the beginning my best friend Todd Howard and I, and again, he had just joined Spaghetti Cake on bass, and Spaghetti Cake is a real thing in my life. It's huge. It's a very popular family rock band in Connecticut. So that's, Spaghetti Cake is my first and foremost legacy, I guess, to my kids and my students. And it's very important to me and my wife. And, of course, I'm in about 6 other bands, too, most notably a jam rock band called Flipper Dave. And if anyone out there, likes the Grateful Dead or Fish, you should definitely check out Flipper Dave. .com and of course on iTunes and all that stuff. So those are my two primary focuses in music. And of course Todd lives in Williamstown, Mass, very far from the Northwest Hills of Connecticut. So it's not easy for us to get together and write songs. So it started off very slowly, and we said, well, at this rate we were writing about 2 songs a year. And we said, at this rate we'll have an album in about 20 years. So that was a pretty good goal for us. But then, if you bring a third brain into the mix. We brought in, you know, Chris Eddy, my other best friend, and, you know, three best friends basically is better than two. And you can push each other harder and you can work harder. And Chris lives a whole lot, you know, closer to me. So I'm much more able to write with him and collaborate with him. But again, it was a learning curve for us because Chris is also in Spaghetti Cake. He was our percussionist. Now he's our full-time drummer. And again, our hearts are very much in Spaghetti Cake and in working with kids. But it's not that big of a leap to go from writing really upbeat, positive kids music to really upbeat, positive fan rock, you know. Yeah. Same kind of people. I didn't meet a whole lot of negative people at C5, you know. Everyone's pretty upbeat and pretty positive and pretty awesome. And a lot of them have kids and stuff, and we're dads now because a lot of us are old school, sorry, you know. I'm 39, you know, so I'm pushing 40 here. But, well, that's basically the story, you know, like I said, right there. So yeah. It got amped up. Funny thing, it got amped up with Humpy the Ewok, which was really strange because now I've got an album that's not G-rated, but more PG-rated. And I don't quite know what to do with it because, I mean, I can promote it online and on Facebook and with the fanboy community, which I guess is what I'm doing. But I can't really talk about it with my kids. We debated whether or not to put Humpy on the album. It's the last track on the album. Yeah. But, you know, it's like, okay, now we're into PG world, you know, and I don't know if I can have my kindergartner kids listening to this stuff. But so it's a little bit of a weird thing there. But, you know, it was Humpy that really kicked it off with Spencer Clennell. Uh-huh. And that was a strange collaboration, too. He became, as Chris says, the fifth Beatle, even though we're a trio. But finding a lyricist was huge for us. Because, I don't know, man, we're all really, like, overthinking, sensitive, creative people. And we've been so inspired by music in our lives. So inspired, and we want to get back, but it's hard to sit down with a blank page and say, okay, you know, what do you want to write about? But when someone hands you lyrics, and let this be a call to anyone listening to this podcast, I welcome lyrical submissions, please, because for me it's so much easier to take somebody else's poetry and sit down and try to write a treatment of it. It's just so much easier, and in some ways it's much more collaborative and fun. Because I end up going, oh, that's so cliche. I can't say that. Oh, you know, that's stupid. I can't say that. But, like, when someone else writes it, it's like, sounds good. You know, it's a different thing. So Spencer put up these lyrics. I didn't know him from Adam, actually, at the time. But on the Forestcast, you know, Facebook page, yeah. And Humpy the Ewok, and, you know, kind of a Weird Al thing, kind of a send-up of the Today Show debacle and a... Of course, I sing that song all the time in school. You know, come on, I'm a school teacher. So it was a Monday night. I'll never forget. It was 11 o'clock at night, Monday night, and I made an iPhone demo, and I sent it in to the Forestcast, Jason and Jimmy, and I just sang it. And, like, literally 3 days later, not only had it played on the Forestcast, but the Jawas had turned it into a YouTube video on FCTV.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? All the music I've written, all the albums I put out, I bet you my legacy is going to be Humpy the Ewok, you know. Can you imagine that? You know?
Well,
so anyway, but that ignited the spark that said, hey, people out there really appreciate this stuff. Maybe we should keep this going, you know. Uh-huh. So we were working on our new Spaghetti Cake CD at the time, Noodle Soup, and but it became evident that I think there's something here. You know, we definitely need to explore this a lot further. So then came Cad Bane, and then came Mandalore Rain, and then came X-Wing High, and finally there's The Circle Is Complete with Stuart Tullis, Shaz Bazar, who wrote some amazing lyrics, very much like Farm Boy. I love that song. I'm very proud of The Circle. It's brand new. It's on our new album.
Yeah, I've listened to that a lot. It's
cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
We wrote that for C5, obviously, and of course it comes from a bit older perspective, Ryan. You know, it's funny being, you know, 39 years old, and I was 6 years old. I mean, I was the perfect age when Star Wars came out. I honestly, God, I was 6 years old, 1977. I literally, my parents were just taking me out to a space movie. it's the classic story, you know, and like the lights went down, and before I saw the spaceships and the lasers, I heard that music, you know, that John Williams music, and I didn't understand it. I was too young, but I said, wow, this means something, you know, and the whole movie meant something to me. Star Wars is a very intense movie. It's the hero's journey. It's the classic tale. It's a perfect film. And when I was completely unaware of what I was seeing and experiencing, but I remember getting home after Star Wars and driving home, and I got the newspaper, you know, the black and white paper, and there was a full page ad of Star Wars, and I remember just putting it down on the kitchen floor and staring at it and going, "What the heck did I just see?" You know, robots and spaceships and creatures and Death Star and space battles and I knew in my young 6-year-old brain that something profound had just happened to me, you know, and something life altering, and it was certainly life altering. So anyway, and it's kind of amazing now to have kids. My son Fox is 6 going on 7 and is obsessed with the Clone Wars, and God, it's funny, you know, he likes the films. They've been in the house forever, but he barely wants to watch those. He just wants to watch the Clone Wars, and you can't blame the kid. The Clone Wars are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
And they're awesome, and I love them. And I can't believe I get to be a dad and relive my childhood. He's 6 years old, and we're going into season 3. He's almost, you know, it's like, and I have a boy, Aiden, who's 3, and my daughter Vale is 5, and you know, she loves Ahsoka, and you know, Aiden just loves everything about it, and we get to sit down as a family in my lap every Friday night and watch new Star Wars. I can't describe to you how awesome that is when you had to wait 3 years for a movie, especially when, you know, your favorite hero of all time, Han Solo, is frozen in carbonite, and you know, and they think, is Vader Luke's dad? You know, we debated that for 3 years. No, he's lying. It's like, it's not true. And like, we had to wait years, and we didn't. You know, and you would drive to the store, and I remember the day that, you know, Yoda, the action figure Yoda came out for the first time, and oh my God, I freaked. I was like, oh my God, Yoda! finally, I can finally add Yoda to like my collection and play with Yoda. You know, it was huge. Like he had his cane, and like, oh, you know, it's just those little things as a kid that you, as a dad, I get to, you know, to relive it, and it's thrilling. So the circle was about that, basically. It's from the perspective of a dad looking back on a life of fandom and getting to relive it. You know, the idea that you know, we'll play Star Wars again. Like, I can be a kid again, and it's pretty extraordinary.
It is, yeah. And the song, I mean, it's a great song. I mean, I can't really say enough about it. And even though I'm, you know, a prequel trilogy era kid, it kind of helped me understand a bit more, I mean, about you old guys.
Yeah, we are old. Well, you know, what's funny is the ForceCast crowd at C5, Ryan, was largely guys like me. I mean, I'm a church minister, and I'm a school teacher, and you know, kind of a normal, you know, boring guy, but like, you know, a lot of these guys were just like me, you know, it's like dads, and just, we're not the ForceCast fans that went to C5. We become very tight, you know, Sheldon and Stu and Schwa and Pedro and Eric. Well, he's young like you guys, but there's a lot of us older folk types. We're very similar guys, but we come from all over the place. And it was really comforting because I'm not a convention goer. I don't put on the costumes, and I'm not even in that league. You know, like, there's hardcore fans. It's like there's so many levels of fandom. It's extraordinary, but there's so many ways to show your love and your fandom. Mine is music, and you know, some of the guys is art. You know, like, you know, Schwa is art, and you know, everyone's got a gift and they share it in their own way. But it was pretty cool to realize that, well, I'm not that weird. I'm actually pretty normal, and I don't have to put on Spock ears and speak Klingon to. It's pretty normal, and like it's immense fun. And I'm really sorry that we missed you and Eric at C5. I totally understand. Yeah. I thought you guys would literally jump in the car, fanboy style.
Oh.
I encouraged you to.
I almost did.
I know you did. But I was like, come on, get in the car. Let's go. You know, like you can, you know, cross country and like steal your dad's car and like just, you know, deal with it when you get home from C5. It's like that is fanboys, you know. I was like, come on. But it's so intense, man. It's like, and it makes you realize this is real. Like, this is actually happening. Like, there's a worldwide movement that responded to these films and these characters so strongly and so passionately, you know, that I don't care, man. If my friends back home think I'm weird or I'm going off the deep end or whatever, I don't care. You know, they just don't know. They just don't know. It's I'm glad that you guys are doing this, and I want to say this, that I'm so proud of you and Eric, and I hate to sound like a teacher and a dad, but what you're doing with this podcast is so cool. It's so, you know, it's so creative, and yet you're so focused on it. You're working very hard on it. Most kids would be playing video games and screwing around, you know, and you're doing something. You're following your passion at a very young age, and you inspire me. It's exactly what my friends and I did when we were kids, and if we had the internet back then... or we didn't have anything like that, and video games stunk back in the 80s, by the way. So, you know, we had our imaginations, which I thank God for now, but we would have been doing exactly what you and Eric are doing. So it's very, very cool, and I totally respect what you're doing. And as you know, I've always been a huge supporter of your podcast, and I hope that you guys, you know, keep it up.
Those are inspiring words.
Thanks, man.
I mean, you guys really inspire us too. I mean, Glenn, you've been with us the entire time since episode one, or even before that. And I mean, we just have to thank you 1,000 times.
didn't I introduce you to you guys?
Yeah.
See, I get all the credit for this whole podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just kidding. You were like, at the time, you know, you were of a certain age, you two, and I said, like, do you know each other? And I think I friended you guys on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah, well, I'm very proud of that too, you know. But again, it's fandom, man. It's like, why shouldn't you hang out with guys your age that are as passionate as you are? And you do all that great, you know, all that great graphic design stuff, and I mean, I can see you working for Lucasfilm one day. Honest to God, why not?
Why
wouldn't you? You're so young, so passionate, so into this stuff, and it's not like you're gonna stop being passionate for Star Wars as you get older. It's just gonna grow and grow and grow. Like in fact, if anyone here from Lucasfilm was listening, which they probably are, Ryan Zaslow is an amazing young animator and needs a job when he gets out of high school. So please, let's get this guy a job doing something cool. I still want to score your first film. If you ever finish a fan film or do something of that ilk, I would love to sit down and score it, like, orchestrally. I've never done that, but I'd like to try, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Count me in.
I mean, we started this to, you know, find a new way to express our fandom because, you know, Eric, he lives out in the middle of nowhere, and... You know, there's not too many Star Wars fans at my school. So, I mean, it's just getting together every week and talking Star Wars. So,
what's that like for you, by the way, if you don't mind me turning the mic on you for a sec? Like, do you ever get, like, people who are like, nerd? Or are people like, cool, you've got an awesome rocking podcast? What's it like?
I get a little of both. I mean, there's some people who like to talk the movies, but... don't really know any of the other stuff, and mostly prequel bashing, which I can't stand.
I hate it. Don't you hate it? And like Indy 4 bashing.
Oh gosh,
it's endless.
That's the worst.
Like, did you hear that on the internet, or do you actually believe that? I have to ask these people who bash Indy 4 in the prequels. Like, I don't know. It's endless. There, and yeah, you know, it's that never existed back when I was a kid. We didn't say, oh, they jumped the mine cart? That's ridiculous. That would never happen. That's stupid. Like, we were like, cool! You know, like, it's suspension of disbelief, guys. It's entertainment. But now, fandom has really split thanks to the internet and the fact that everyone now has a voice and everyone's a critic. It's like there are just as many haters as there are lovers, but I don't understand that. I don't understand how you can be a fan of something and rip it to shreds, and that's the way you express. I've watched, you know, The Phantom Menace 500 times, and here are the 1,001 things that are wrong with it. But that is a huge movement in fandom. I just don't understand it, because I don't know. I love to love things, and that might sound stupid, but that's it. That's my philosophy of life. I'd rather go through life joyous and happy and loving things. But like Indy 4, like we've had this discussion, you know, before. There was not just the movie, but there was the anticipation of the movie, the waiting in line, the camaraderie with other indie fans. There's more to me than just films, than just sitting there watching a movie. There's so much more that I enjoy, that I get out of it. And you will too as you get older, and you're going to realize how rich it really all is and how deep it goes. And one day you'll have kids, and one day it's just, it never ends, Ryan. It's a wonderful, if you're positive and you let it affect you in a positive way, sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. It's like, why would you sit there and rip on something that you supposedly love, or like poke holes in it? Indy 4 was great, and as we all know, you know, if they'd had CGI back in the 80s, they would have used it, and we wouldn't have complained about it. We would have been like, oh my god, look at those crazy monkeys, you know, like, cool, you know? And, you know, prequel bashing, all right, I'll say one thing, and this is going on record. Midichlorians, bad idea. I'm just going to go, fine. Oh. All right, fine. But, like, I wouldn't say it's the worst movie of all time. George Lucas, you know, did this to my childhood or whatever. Come on, guys, come on. What did you think you were going to get? I mean, really, honest to God. You know, I love Qui-Gon Jinn. He is one of my favorite characters in the whole saga, Qui-Gon Jinn. Like, he's deeply spiritual, connected to the Force, and I every time I see him, I get goosebumps. There were elements of that movie, the first movie, that are great, you know. And I still, if I could ask, you know, Dave Filoni a question, it would be like, are we ever going to see the ghost of Qui-Gon? Like, I probably not, because in Ep 3, you know, Yoda finally makes contact with the Force, you know. Probably not, but wouldn't that be great to see the ghost of Qui-Gon? I mean, and wouldn't your heart just leap out of your chest to see that? Like, wow, like...
Yeah, I mean, you know, even if it's like a Force vision, you know, how where Yoda has that sort of vision where when Anakin slaughters the Tusken Raiders and you hear Qui-Gon's voice...
Yeah.
I mean, what's going through Yoda's head? There could be an image, you know, of a ghost of Qui-Gon.
That's true, Dave Filoni, if you're listening. I don't care about Ben Quadraneros, but I would love to see the ghost of Qui-Gon. That's my one pick. Oh my god, I would have tears in my eyes. That's fantastic. And I met, I don't know, you know, I met Jake Lloyd at C5, and wonderful guy, you know, but sad, like... Like, he didn't get the love, man. Like, where's the love for Jake Lloyd, man? Like, he got like abused in high school, apparently.
Really?
Like, for being, isn't that bizarre?
Yeah,
like,
that is,
there was so much hatred for the prequels.
That's outrageous.
I know. You'd be like, I feel like, dude, you're awesome. You were in Star Wars, but I don't know. Like that. I don't know. I just don't get the hate. But that's me, man. That's high adventure too. That's Todd. That's Chris. That's the people I hang out with. They're all really, really, really positive, you know, creative people. And I just don't get it. But hey, whatever. If that's what makes you happy, fine. You know, I see, you know, like people post on the internet about if you're a real indie fan, you have to hate, you know, Indy 4.
Oh, I remember that on the Facebook.
You know, preposterous. You know,
yeah.
Preposterous. You know, there are things about the... I didn't love the Ewoks, but over time, I didn't love Indy's dad. You know, Sean Connery was a big wimp, you know? I never bought into him as being Indy's dad. But over... What's funny is over time, everything fades. And as you get older and as you reflect on your life, things become much more, you know, rose-colored. And of course, there's the whole childhood thing. Like Jon Stewart said once, you know, like... Everything's better because it was your childhood. Everything's better. Like, it's just the way it is, people. I'm sorry, you know. my childhood was awesome, but it happened, and it's over, you know? So I can choose to be a kid and keep enjoying life on that level, or I can, you know, choose to be a grumpy old adult and hate everything. So, I don't know. Anyway, I'm done on that subject. So.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have here? Let's see.
What about the songs? You got any, besides Cad Bane, you got any favorite songs?
Well, I do like Ballad of Indiana. I mean, that was a good one.
Ballad of Indiana. All right. I actually called the Indie Cat call. I actually talked to Brother Pat, and I wanted to get into the Indie Brotherhood, and I posed a question that was too hard for the Indie Cast people, the Indie Cast, and so he said no to my question, but I said, does that mean that I pre-stumped the Brotherhood? Do I get a pin just automatically? But Indie. One of the great things about that song is it is full of nods to the thematic elements in Indie, or in Raiders, really. Starting with the very first thing, which is really just the theme from Indie, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's this thing going on, which is an organ loop in the background, which if you slow it down is, so it's the first four notes of the theme, but it's looped, you know, very fast. So right off the bat, you've got two things, and then the chords come in, and it's, which really is the melody again. And then the way that the bridge is, take a look at my face, see it's wild and worn. That's really, if you listen to the chords very, very, very carefully, it's the map room theme. The map room, which is. Which is our favorite theme from the whole movie. It's all done in major chords. And then the bridge of the song is just straight up map room. There's no even hiding it. It's how did I get here? My life in mortal danger. Why couldn't I be home in the company of strangers? So that's it. Yeah, you know, da na 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 na. You know, there's all that stuff, and then it's just full of things. And like Farm Boy is the same way. Farm Boy, which we're very proud of, but there's that whole middle section that it goes, which is really.
I never noticed that.
That's true. That's true.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and the in Farm Boy, the verse is in G, chorus is in E flat, and I'm forgetting. I think the bridge is in like D or something. So there's like three sections of the song. And they're actually B. That's right, 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 right. The verses in the bridges in B. So it's in music, it's what's called a tritone. And there's three sections to the song. They're all in major third apart. And we did that in honor of the Holy Trilogy, of course, the Holy Trilogy of Star Wars being a trilogy. So like the song Farm Boy, and this is the first time I've ever spoken of this. Ever, the whole song is in three parts and it's in major thirds, so it's an homage to the Holy Trilogy. So
that's awesome.
there's things like that all through our music that we try to work in there, and don't know if anyone catches it, but it's for us. It's kind of like the Sistine Chapel, you know, has gargoyles in the ceiling that only God can see, and I've always viewed art like that, you know, like it's for us, but it's in there, and it's cute, and it's, you know, it's quirky, and it's fun, and as we're writing the song, it gives us something to laugh about. And there's actually more stuff in Farm Boy too, but we'll let the fans, you know, dig deeper to find that stuff. Anyway, so what else? So you like Ballad of Indiana? Yeah, that's a great song. I mean, Todd, that's a fantastic song. We're just very, some of these songs we just got lucky on. Just very proud of that one, you know. I'm very proud of the song X-Wing High. I got to sing that at C5, and it felt good. You know, like, the room was full of people that were talking and having a great time and listening, and, you know, but when I sang X-Wing High, I felt like the whole room was listening to every word, and I felt sometimes in music when you're performing, like, you feel like the audience and the artist elevate as one, like you vibrate on a higher level. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we hit that on X-Wing High, just like resonating with people big time, you know, and it resonates with me deeply. That's a great song that Spencer wrote the lyrics to, and very, very proud of that song too. So,
yeah.
You know, anyway,
I love that song. I remember you sent me the acoustic version of that.
I did. Because you're a super high ed fan.
Yeah.
So I send you all my like demos in progress, and like, what do you think? It, but it like means a lot to me, like your input. And you can be more critical too of me in the future if I send you more stuff. Be like, well, you know, dude, it's good, but I think you could do better. I think the bridge could be tighter or something. You know, like I can handle it. You know, right?
Well, I mean, your songs are so good, and I'm not like musically like knowledgeable on the level that you are. You know, I played tuba in junior high, but that's about it.
Well, you know, music, you know, don't fear music, man, but it's a wonderful, magical force. Doesn't have to dominate your life, but, you know, like I tell my students, you know, especially if you're a boy, you know, learn to sing. And it's so hard for guys because, you know, physically you're always, you know, kind of changing. But then at some point, like, you grow up and, like, just learn to sing, man. Just learn to sing. So, like, someday you could just sing to your kids if nothing else, but, it's a powerful thing, man. And like, it bugs me when I hear people say like, "Oh, I don't sing," or "I don't sing. I can't sing." Or they're like, "I'm tone deaf." I hate that. I'm tone deaf. You just didn't practice. You know, like if you just learned to sing "Happy Birthday" the right way, without, you know, messing up the octave. You know, if you just practiced singing when you sing that one stupid song at birthday parties, that would be enough practice for most grown-ups to work on their voice enough to be able to sing. And I can't tell you what being able to sing has done for me in my life, and, you know, and how much joy it's brought me. I couldn't sing as a kid. I was terrible. I was terrible. Like, back when we were, you know, starting out in high ed, I was the lead singer. I was terrible. I was, you know, horrible. But I kept going, and I didn't give up, you know, and so now I'm here today, and it's been a, you know,
yeah,
huge.
Yeah, definitely.
So what bands do you like? What music do you listen to?
Well, I listen to a lot of Star Wars. I listen to High Adventure.
nice.
I mean, my dad listens to kind of a lot of stuff, and I just kind of go off of what he listens to. You know,
that's a great, that's brilliant, man. I mean, my mom played me the Beatles. I mean, my mom, like, God bless. My dad played me Beethoven. You know, he was the serious guy. You know, that hippie stuff is fine, son, but sit down, listen to Beethoven. You know, and, you know, dun 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 dun. Like, I, again, you know, same as John Williams. I mean, same as John Williams. In fact, I think it was the same year, because it was the year that I discovered records. You know, I was listening to Beatles, Beethoven, and John Williams, and that's it. That's why I'm here today, because of those three things. And your mom and dad are smarter than you think they are, and they have some good music. So you definitely want to rip off their whole like CD library. Definitely, you know, that's really, I'm serious.
Yeah, I do listen to a lot of Beatles. I pretty much have all their albums. So, and it all started off of my dad's two anthology CDs. So
yeah, the Beatles are great. I mean, they're great. And then the Beatles led me to. I mean, we actually drove around in a VW bus for the first 10 years of my life. We went on all the family trips in this VW bus. We had an 8-track player. We only had one 8-track. This is a true story. Until I was about 10 years old. And we had Abbey Road, and I think it was like stuck in there or something. So like, we listened to this album all the time. It just looped. That's what they did back then. They just looped. And I just listened to that. I didn't even know that there was any other album that existed for a while there. And it didn't matter because like that album has everything.
Yeah.
That album is it's kind of like Bach's, you know, well-tempered clavier. It's like, here it is, kids. Here's the framework for what an album is. Here you go. Now strive for the rest of your life to duplicate this if you can. And of course we can't. But that's the ultimate goal. It's like we all want to make Abbey Road 2.
Yeah.
But that's a great record. But then once I began to get to a certain age, Todd Howard again in High Adventure, he got me going on Rush, and Rush led me to Yes, and Yes to ELP, and ELP to Zappa, and then Zappa led me to jazz, and jazz led me back to rock. You know, like it's a funny circle, but one thing begets another, and if you're just open-minded about it and listen to music and let yourself be influenced by things instead of being closed-minded, your life will be joyous because there's literally a universe of music to go swimming in that has nothing to do with what's on MTV or what's top 40 or what's popular. But and again, you know, your parents have some good stuff, so start there, but then let your friends influence you. But then really your own path is your own path, and let one thing, you know, become another thing.
Yeah.
And you know, and lately in life I've been listening to a lot of I'm obsessed with some modern bands now, like Carbon Leaf and Great Big Sea, more guys that sing more like me, I guess. I've got a baritone voice, and I have to accept that. I'm never going to sing like John Anderson. I'm never going to have that great male tenor. I am what I am, so I'm sort of listening to guys that sing like me and sing in a low range. But anyway, it's all influence, and it's a lot of friendship and collaboration, and this High Adventure thing has been amazing, and you guys have been amazing, and everything is very positive, and it's going to keep going. What about Mandalore Rain?
Yeah,
that was a funny song, because when they announced that on the Forcecast, I was sitting there, I was live in the chat listening to it, and so was Spencer Clennell, and I you know right away we Skyped and we're like, dude, this is our contest to lose. First of all, I said, Spencer, I'm a huge Bruce Hornsby fan. First of all, he's one of my musical heroes. Second of all, I've been playing this tune for like 20 years. I've been singing and playing this tune forever. So it was like right away, like, oh my God, like, could they have made a more perfect contest? And we had already done, you know, Cad Bane and Humpy, so we were determined to write a masterful song. And we really, really, really spent a lot of time on the lyrics back and forth. I think we did 5 or 6 or 7 different drafts of it, and very proud of how it came out. I went into the studio to record it, you know, professionally, on a beautiful microphone, on a Steinway grand piano, and my B3 Hammond organ, and then, you know, sent it to Todd. He finished the song with bass and drums and some mandolin, and it's just a, you know, very proud of that song. Very proud of all of our songs, but you know, that one especially, when I sent that to Jimmy Mack, I, you know, that was with a, like, here you go, like, here it is, like, finally, like, because we spent so much time on it, and Big Honk and Steve did a fantastic job on his was very funny. He's a great guy. We met each other at C5, and, you know, big hugs all around, and, like, love you, you know. Big love fest all around. He's a great guy. So if the fans thought there was anything, any like animosity there, there's absolutely none. He's dynamite. He's as cool a guy as you could ever think he could be. He's a funny guy because as you're talking to Steve Glossin, you're like, you're the dude from that podcast. Like, his voice is unmistakable, you know? Like, wow, like, cool, man. Like, it's so funny being a podcaster and, like, knowing, even talking to you is weird because I listen to all your podcasts. It's like, yeah, that's Ryan. And where's Eric? You know, where's Eric?
Where is Eric? That's good. I mean, but the hard work on Mandalore Rain really does show. I mean, that's one of my favorites. I mean, I listen to that song more than Mandolin Rain.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bruce Hornsby wrote, the thing about that song, the thing that was so hard is, first of all, in Clone Wars Season 2, my favorite moment was that one moment. I literally cried. You know, like, the Clone Wars does many things to me, but really makes me cry. I literally cried when he said I would leave the Jedi Order. I felt his pain, you know, and that James Arnold Taylor did such an amazing job on the voice. And wow, it's like Star Wars is deep again. There are deep moments in Star Wars that make me cry when I see them, but not really in the Clone Wars, but, you know, it's like, wow, this, and it made his character suddenly just have so many more levels to it. And I love longing and regret anyway. I can't write songs about it. I'm not very good at that. But we were determined to capture that idea of sadness and regret. And like this old man, I mean, this old man on Tatooine, looking back on his life saying, oh my God, what did I do? You know, where's my sateen? You know, like, that's powerful human emotional stuff that I... And it feels good to sing about, you know. It's powerful stuff, and we wanted to capture that. The problem is, Bruce Hornsby already wrote a pretty much perfect song about longing and regret. Mandolin Rain is full, it's fraught with sadness and emotion, and it's a beautiful song, you know. Like, so, we wanted to do the Star Wars thing justice, you know. So that was challenging, but I'm extremely proud of the third verse, you know. The ghost of Qui-Gon Jinn, and I watch the twin sun spin as I reach across the stars. I hear, let me know. You know, that whole verse just kills me singing. It's hard to sing it, but it's, of course, it's got my ghost of Qui-Gon in it. But I can just see Obi-Wan just sitting there, you know, watching the Dune Sea and watching the twin sun set, and just saying, man, I messed up. I could have done something totally different with my life, but thus is life, and thus is, you know, regret and longing and looking back on stuff. So I was very, very pleased at the fan support that we did get on that song, and of course it was nice to win. But, you know, I don't know if I'm going to continue to inundate the Forcecast with my music. I don't want to ruin the party. And I don't want to hog the limelight. In fact, if anything, Ryan, if people out there are listening to this, I'd like to encourage young musicians, old musicians, to start sending in songs of their own. Like, I don't want to hog the spotlight at all. That's the last thing I want to do. I don't want people to say, oh, God, here's another Glenn song.
I don't think they're saying, you know, that.
I don't think so either, but... It's a wonderful, wonderful crowd to, you know, you know, at the Forcecast party was pretty much the coolest audience you could ever sing. Like, here are the exact people I wrote these songs for, you know, and I'm getting to sing them for these people in person. That was intense. But I'm going to actually, the plan is, now that we've finished the album, to sort of shy away a bit and sort of come back when we have a whole bunch of new stuff, and let people sort of, you know, think about it for a while and enjoy what we've done, and that's sort of the plan. I mean, we're still writing, we're not stopping, but I'm not going to just keep inundating the Forcecast with songs, because I don't want to, like, spoil the party, but that's the plan anyway. I don't know, maybe I'm full of baloney, but that's the plan right now. So,
well, whatever the plan, your songs are always welcome here. I mean, just maybe just send them in, and
I'll send them to you. Okay, that's a plan, dude. So anyway, yeah, and if you know, I love to start talking about the Clone Wars. You know, once that airs, because season 3 just looks amazing. You know,
yeah, it does.
So anyway, I can't wait for that. And I got to tell you, I was talking to Paul Bateman.
Yeah.
At C5. Paul Bateman is a wonderful guy. I bet you he'd do your podcast too.
I hope so.
Truly, truly, you know, like at Fan Days, there are people that you meet and you go, I didn't expect them to be that cool. I felt that way about Joel J. Shepherd at Fan Days when I finally met him. He's such a genuinely great guy. Like, wow, like, you know, who made me feel completely welcomed and like accepted in the fan community, like, you know, right away. And then I had that same experience with Paul Bateman, and he's as cool as you could ever hope for. And he spent time talking to everybody that came to the Ralph McQuarrie booth, and he spent a good deal of time talking to everybody, and not just like, okay, you know, but like really like talked about everything that he knew. So anyway, he was talking to this one guy, and of course I'm just standing there listening because he's a fascinating guy. And I guess he's seen season 4. I mean, we haven't even seen season 3 yet, and like he's seen the work on season 4. Of course he can't talk about it, but he's like, what he was implying was, listen, you guys are going to love season 3, but you literally cannot even begin to comprehend what's taking place in season 4. He says, even I can't comprehend it. I can't believe that this is Star Wars. I can't believe the things that I'm seeing, or that they're even able to do this stuff on television. Like, you literally have no idea what you're in for. So, like, oh my God. Like, the way he talked about it was just like, I can't wait. Yeah,
it's so awesome. Let's hope that we're at least going to have an arc that's a collaboration between Kyle Katarn and the Ghost of Qui-Gon.
Wouldn't that be cool? So what do you want to see in the Clone Wars, Ryan? What do you want to see besides the Ghost of Qui-Gon and the Ben Quadraneros?
Well, Kyle Katarn, obviously.
Yeah.
He's, you know, being, you know, a young kid in the 90s, all I had was Dark Forces 2. So, you know, I played a pretty pivotal role. It was the first Star Wars video game I bought. So, I mean, that would be cool. I mean, even if it's like his father, he would be the right age in the age of the Clone Wars. So, mm-hmm. And they are pretty similar characters. So, yeah, Kyle Katarn or any of his family or anyone that's, you know, related somehow to that story. But I'm looking forward to the Republic Commandos. I've only read the first book, but I played the video game.
Mm-hmm, yep.
I'm looking forward to that, and you know, just whatever they throw at me, I'm going to accept it, like I've been wanting it for years.
Right, but no wish list though of like things that we haven't seen. But I mean, if you could talk to Dave Filoni and you know, plug your one thing, what's your Ghost of Qui-Gon Jinn? Well, you know, it's Kyle Katarn,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
so okay, so there it is.
There
so,
it is.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And there it is. Yeah, that's cool, man. Like, that'd be awesome to see, or maybe some Thrawn action, you know, in there.
Yeah.
You know, some young Thrawn.
I know Kashyyyk is a pretty big point for a lot of people, which
Wookiees. Yeah,
Wookiees,
they're big.
I wouldn't be surprised if they had that. Maybe not in season 3, but possibly in season 4 or any season after. You know, because the Clone Wars does take place on Kashyyyk as well. I mean, you can obviously see it in episode 3. So.
Yeah, that's true. And of course the thing I wonder as a dad is I'm sure this you know weighs heavily on Dave's mind and even George's mind is my son is so obsessed with the Clone Wars, and who can blame him? We haven't watched episode 3 in years. I mean, and I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
And I'm almost saving it for after the Clone Wars, I mean, even for myself, because I want it to be like the end cap to the Clone Wars, but I don't know the impact it's going to have on him when he sees the fall of Anakin, his hero.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's such a fall. He has to fall to the dark side. He has to, and that's otherwise it wouldn't become believable that he nukes Alderaan and becomes Darth Vader and all this. He has to fall hard, but it's so hard in Ep 3. That I shy away from even showing it to him because, you know, when you're six and your hero is Anakin, that's a fine line to walk. And also, of course, the fate of Ahsoka weighs at C5. I gotta say, of all the stars that were shining brightly at C5, the one who shone the brightest was Ashley Eckstein. You couldn't even. I waited in her line for 2 hours on Sunday to get her autograph on my Grant Gould poster, and I could not even get halfway through the line. She is so popular. She is so beloved because of the Her Universe thing. Now the women love her, kids love her, old guys love her. Everyone loves Ahsoka. And I'm thinking to myself, all these young girls who love Ahsoka, love her. What are they going to do, man, when she gets, you know, cut down? Or whatever is the fate of Ahsoka, we know it's final. And it's official, you know.
Yeah.
I just wonder what's going to happen to these little girls who are going to have... I mean, I'm sure Dave has something in the back of his mind, but it's got to be dark because it contributes to the fall of Anakin. So I don't think she just becomes a bounty hunter and just, you know, lives on. I mean, I love to... It's great to speculate about it. And in fact, I'll just tell you the exclusive scoop here, Ryan. That is my next song. It's called The Fate of Ahsoka. And it's dark, man. It's heavy duty. It's like Mandalorian. It's powerful stuff, you know. Coming soon. But I had to write that song. It's absolutely an excellent song because after C5, I realized, wow, this character is resonating deeply with people. You know, and I can't help but wondering what's going to happen to Ahsoka. So I'm looking forward to that in season 3 myself, just to see how her character. It seems like she's pivotal based on the previews.
Yeah.
Her destiny. So
I cannot believe how much Ahsoka has evolved, not only in the show but in as accepted as she is in the fan community. I mean, you go back to the early Clone Wars days and people weren't, you know, they weren't too happy about Ahsoka and about Anakin's Padawan. But now, I mean, she's just as popular as Anakin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's huge.
Yeah.
She was the star of Star Wars at C5. There's no doubt about it. She was, you know, Mark Hamill was big, and, you know, George and John were big, but she was the star of Star Wars. If you base it on the kids and the overall general fan reaction, she's huge, and she's going to get bigger and bigger. So, anyway, that's about it, man. I mean, I think we covered it all, and I don't want to take up too much of your time here, but I really appreciate, you know, being on your show, and I will keep listening, and I'll keep spreading the word, and I hope to be a part of your roundtables one day on season 3. And sorry, Aaron couldn't be here, but yeah. I wish you guys all the best. And again, I'm totally behind you, totally supportive, and I'm a fan.
Well, I'm a fan of you and High Adventure and Spaghetti Cake and all that. And I mean, you're welcome here anytime.
All right, sounds like a plan, dude. Well, all right then.
All right, take care, Glenn.
I appreciate it. And may the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
It's all there. Maps, passcodes, phony IDs to get you past the front gates. But that's not what's most important.
What's most important?
We never met.
Interested in the sci-fi or horror genre? Then Sacramento's own From the Land Beyond is just the place for you. With guests such as Billy Dee Williams, it's bound to be a great time. Visit www.sackhorror.com for more details.
As you wish.
I don't work for free.
He's no good to me, Dad.
I make the rules now.
What if he doesn't survive? He's worth a lot to me.
To find High Adventure's great new album, visit highadventuremusic.com to get High Adventure's brand new album for free. What are you waiting for? Download now.
Everything's under control. Situation normal.
What happened?
Had a slight weapons malfunction, but everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
A story speaks of a widespread war a great long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away, in a time we've come to know, a republic standing on one side,
with its valiant Jedi Knights against the evil separatists engaged in epic fights. But then one day along there came a hunter on the prowl who, for the earning of his fee, committed deeds most foul. Killed, he kidnapped, and he plundered. There was no job too great as long as he was getting paid, despite being one to hate.
Cad Bane, just that never missed their mark. Cad Bane, eyes of dark blood red. Cad Bane, wanted men would hear his name and wish that they were dead, and wish they were dead.
Jedi minds, he would always get away, and those who yet to keep him held would wait till another day. Whatever single shot be heard, as wartime bombs would rain, would bring the name of infamy remembered as
Cad Bane. Just that never missed their mark.
Cad Bane,
and eyes of dark blood red.
Cad Bane,
wanted men would hear his name and wish that they were dead, and wish that they were dead. You can wish that he was dead, but you wish that you were dead.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. It's intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and character, or any other Star Wars-related items are the registered trademarks of Lucasfilm or their respective trademark or copyright holders.